It is the football phone-in with the legends on BBC Radio WM. Now then, we've got a special guest, Joy, an extra bonus guest on the show this evening now, because joining us is a man who started his career at Birmingham City, local man, then went on, played over 400 games in his career, and then became part of David Moyes' backroom staff as a physio. It's Mick Rathbone. I've got a bone to pick with you, Mick.
Oh, gosh, what is it? Actually said special guest as well.
Well, mate, this is it right now. I'm not saying I hold a grudge, but in the mid-70s, I had my sticker album, and all I needed was Mick Rathbone. I had about 25 Bob Latchfords. I couldn't get a Mick Rathbone. I'd be at school, it'd be got need. I never got you, mate. So
I don't think they printed any of me. I wasn't my own enough. So maybe there's no such thing, mate.
Has anyone else ever said that to you, then?
To be honest, I've seen a few of them stickers, but obviously I look so different then with all my hair. Long time ago, mate.
And for me as well.
Long time ago.
Listen, so you had a couple of seasons at St Andrews, your hometown club. So were they good times? Have you got good memories from your times at Blues?
No, so I'm going to be honest here. I didn't have good memories because I left school at 16, went to Sir Wilfrid Martineau, lived in Sheldon, walked to the training ground, Damson Lane in them days. Yeah. Got in the team when I was 17, made my debut at Spurs as sub. And talking of numbers and stuff and the modern game, I was sitting there on that Tuesday night in October 76, shaking with fear, the noise and the lights and the shouting and the booing. And we were losing 1-0. And I'm sat there, I'm counting backwards from 5,400, praying I don't have to go on. And then Archie Styles, he hobbled over to the dugout and he said, "My groin's gone, get that on." So I looked to my left, physio. Look to my right, Willie Bell. There were three people in that dugout. I thought, this one's for you, mate. And I got up and I hobbled onto that pitch with legs like hanging off. And for about the last 10 minutes of the game, then stayed in the game on Saturday, Newcastle away. We finished runners up again. That's reverse psychology. Runners up on the Saturday as well. I played about 20 games. I really struggled. I really didn't play well. I left. I was under a cloud. My confidence was completely shattered. It took a long time to rebuild it up at Blackburn and then later on at Preston.
Well, you had like 400 odd games, as I mentioned there. And there's a family connection, because I know that your son, Oliver, actually scored against Blues last year for Wrexham. And you've played against him, haven't you, Mark, when he was at Rotherham?
Yeah, I played against him a couple of years ago for Leicester. I remember it was at Rotherham, and he came off the bench and got a... I remember him getting a massive ovation by the Rotherham fans, and I remember thinking he's very popular at the club, so he must have done something right there.
Well, we had great times with Oliver, and as you say, he scored against Birmingham, and I went to see the game, Birmingham 0, Rotherham 0 last season, and it was great because... Yeah, exactly. And Ollie nearly scored late on. John Ruddy, who I worked with at Everton for years, he gave a bad pass out to Ollie, and Ollie nearly scored. Somebody cleared it off the line, and we were in with the Rotherham fans. And you imagine, for me, a Blues fan from born in Sheldon, to be sitting there watching my son leading out the Rotherham team, and then, of course, Wayne's leading out the Birmingham team as manager. So that's football. It's just...
Yeah,
weird, isn't it?
And it's interesting because on about John Ruddy giving the ball away, which goes full circle to what we were just on about with Mark and goalkeepers having to be Bobby Moore these days. So then you had a long time, Mick, and I know this is talk about your new book that's out. This is why you're on, The Smell of Football. Well, it's the third one in the series, 100 Days in the Dugout. So what's all that about? Is it about your time as a physio?
Yeah, the first book's about my 35 years. It starts when I'm 16. It finishes at the cup final for Everton versus Chelsea 35 years later. The first one's about basically having no confidence in life and as a player, and how I turn that round. The second book is about growing old in a young man's sport, and that covers about a 15-year span from when I leave Everton as physio and go to lots of different clubs, including Man U, England and all that, and start to feel old in a young man's sport. And the third one, I've worked for about 11 clubs in the last couple of years. There's no physio, especially in the lower league, so I get the phone call. Even now I'm at Harrogate now, really enjoy it. Just for a couple of weeks while the new guy starts. And I kept a diary at Accrington last year. And I was there exactly 100 days, which is kind of fate in itself. And it was incredible how it all panned out. And the last 5 days are absolutely incredible. So I thought I'd write it down. So that got released last week into all the usual outlets. And that's where we are now.
Because, I mean, obviously, as a physio, clearly things moved on a lot from the Magic Sponge in the late 70s. But I'll bring Mark in on this. How, for you, Mark, how important as a player is that relationship between you and the medical staff, the physio or the physios?
Yeah, it's obviously huge. I think they, it's a strange relationship because they tell you to do a lot of things that you don't necessarily want to do, but you know you've got to because it's good for you. But it's what I found when in my time at Leicester especially was there was a massive connection and a really good connection between the players and the physios, masseurs, and that went a long way to our success. I think every event that we did, whether it was go out for a meal, go no matter where we went, night out, a team bonding event, all the physios, the masseurs would be there as well. All the backroom staff would be there, and there was a real togetherness. And like I say, it's a strange relationship because they're telling you to do a lot that you don't want to do, but they've got your best interests at heart.
There's a trust there, isn't there? Mick, without mentioning any names, I'm sure you wouldn't anyway. As a physio, have you had players and you know they're faking it, where for whatever reason they haven't wanted to go out there and they've told you and you're thinking you ain't got that?
The only person who did that was probably me back in the mid-70s where I was praying to be struck by lightning. You know what? It's a strange question to answer that because it's ever so easy to say, yeah, there's loads of players like that. But I'm not sure Mark would agree that it's that common because, you know, only 1 in 1,000 get to be professional footballers and they tend to be generally decent guys and part of their success is to be tough and robust and turn out every week and that. So I'm not saying I've never come across the odd person, but I would say it's not so common in football.
And it might even be psychologically more than the fact that they're not in. There's still a reason why they don't feel as if they can cross that line and go and do it. We're almost out of time, Mick. I really enjoyed it. It's only been a brief chat, mate. So it's called The Smell of Football. It's the third in the series, 100 Days in the Dugout. And it's out now, so it's available in all the usual, as you said, all the usual bookshops and
places,
stuff like that.
Yeah. Probably not Birmingham City souvenir shop.
Not yet. Hopefully we can chat again, Mick. Really good to have you on, mate. That was Mick Rathbone.